All right, make sure you're in fellowship here as we are addressing Joseph implementing a new tax policy on the produce of those in the agricultural fields, if you will, post-famine. And that is one-fifth or 20% is to be given to Pharaoh. And then the remaining four-fifths are for their own use in how they see fit in that regard. And the 20%, one must compare this to the original implementing of a tax system pre-famine, and that is in the 7 years of plenty. Joseph suggested to Pharaoh that the government tax 20% of the people in their grain and use it to build up a reserve, a savings, if you will, to get them over the 7 years of famine that would fall after the fact. And it is that move that Joseph made or suggested that obviously indeed has provided the nation, Egypt, with their survival during this worldwide famine that otherwise occurs in this regard. So his new taxation that he is going to establish here after the fact follows the same pattern, if you will, and reason and purpose for why he is taxing this levy on them when they are able to go back and start reproducing grain and gaining income otherwise on a commercial level in that respect. So point 44 there again in our notes, page 27 or page 27, in contrast to simply taxing because he could. It appears here that Joseph is instituting a government program that will ensure emergency provisions into the future for a government to engage in a form of taxation for the benefit of the people and for the maintaining the running of their nation and country is clearly legitimate. So 45, Pharaoh and company now have shown themselves to be benevolent rulers, fair and just, over the people, point 45, and exemplify a righteous government that taxes for the good of the people and not just to line their personal pockets, if you will. All their pork barrel agendas, all their socialistic agendas that reflect partiality and things of this nature, inequality, robbing Peter to give away to Paul, so to speak. This is all evil. But for a government to step in and incorporate levies and other systems of taxation to help the nation as a whole, all on equal standing and equal footing in that regards, is a mark of a righteous government that understands equity, understands fairness and justice in regards to people. But as it is, the SCA comes in and people see loopholes and advantages that could be made to make themselves rich and wealthy through kickbacks, all other types of stuff that they circumvent, if you will, legal loopholes, etc., in order to attain their monetary greed. So here we have a reason and purpose for this taxation that is in stark contrast to what we're familiar with. And Joseph, Pharaoh and company have shown themselves to be quite upright. Obviously, through their original 20% that they acquired over 7 years of plenty, they have now proven themselves to distribute it appropriately for the survival of the Egyptian nation and citizens in that regards. So 46 here, the 20% here was to be a straight tax, and the remainder free for the taxpayer's use. And here is as it's listed, and you got to put it in its proper perspective as it might be applied under the premise of income, production, commercialization, if you will. The four-fifths could be for the seed of the field, after they harvest. They take some of their produce and replant it as well. You keep plants going in this regards. As Lama Zera HaSadeh, that looks at the principle of reinvesting. To reinvest, to put some of the grain back in the ground so you can have more grain next year. So they are free of any additional taxation for that which will go back into their business, into their productivity. B, and for your food, while Lamad Akal, end quote. Obviously, it looks at personal consumption. They are to be free to use the remainder without further penalty for their own personal use. Whatever they may have to enjoy and stay healthy on their own part, there should be no attempts in regards to muzzling these people in that capacity. See the phrase, and for those of your households, while Lamad Asher Bayit, end quote. Obviously looks for expanding their enterprise. The household would be all inclusive, as your servants, other people who may work for you and help you on the farm, your slaves, things of that nature. And so to utilize it on behalf of what they seem as necessary to maintain their business as well as growing it based on what their capabilities are from their return in harvest. Then the final phrase here, D, quote, and as for food for your little ones, while I call Lamad Thoth, end quotes. This is to ensure the livelihood of their future. This alludes to, at least, that there would be no penalties imposed upon them for the generations to come up behind them. And that would obviously implicate any type of inheritance tax that may go to them if something would happen to them otherwise, to their children. We live in a world of double, triple, if not even more, quadruple taxation today. So 47, Joseph's terms for taxation, only taxes based on profit. Based on profit. You get 2 acres of return, then a fifth of that goes to the Pharaoh, the rest of it's yours, to use as you see fit in regards to your livelihood. your business, your enterprise, your family, your own personal use. So Joseph's term for taxation only taxes based on profit, avoiding, continue point 47, any additional tax on personal use, reinvestment, and inheritance. The four-fifths return the people would enjoy also obviously provides them opportunity then to get the animals out of hock that they had sold off previously and eventually repurchase land as opportunity arises when Pharaoh may decide to put it back on the market. And obviously he does at least some of it because our verses tells us that Jacob and family purchased the land of Goshen basically. That there is only tax on productivity. Then the land that would be repurchased would be the owner's outright. They don't want to use it for business, they're not going to get taxed for it. They don't want to grow stuff on it, then they're not going to get taxed for it. They can use it, but if it's in for a, if you will, a commercial type of income for them, then 20% goes to Pharaoh. So obviously I couldn't help to contrast it to what we face. I'm still on the mark, tomorrow is it, so now we're dealing with taxation. So everybody wants to be exactly right. 50, that's an inside joke. This is in contrast to a sliding scale system of graduated taxation our nation uses to oppress the people. To preclude this, to clear the air in regards to the principle of tithing, as churches may try to utilize that principle to levy a tax on the people, on their parishioners. Tithing was instituted as mandatory taxation in support of the priesthood of Israel. That is because the priesthood, the Kohens, were not given real estate in the Abrahamic promise and covenant. That's because their service is designed to send them where they're needed in terms of where the people are at throughout, spread out through the nation. But the people in return, obviously, were obligated to support them in regards to their livelihood. And the principle was, as a nation would prosper, obviously the priesthood prospered. God set them up to begin with a government system based on judges, hence the book of Judges. But they wanted to be like everybody else, and they wanted a king. So then he gave a king, and then the taxes went up again. He gave the tax to the priesthood, and now whatever the king may tax you on. So giving in our dispensation is a votive offering, is free will. You give as God prospers you according to the doctrine of your soul and application. Here we can contrast this form of government to our own. Point A, 50. We're taxed obviously on both on income both at the federal and state levels in our state. Not every state has state income. Texas doesn't. I'm not sure about Florida. But probably most states do have state income. So that's a form of double taxation. Federal government giving money to the states for infrastructure. That's not right. That's why the states are in a predicament they're in many cases, and held responsible by the federal government to abide by their crazy and unrighteous mandates and things of this nature, because the federal government says, we give you money, we'll take it away from you. But it's all right for the federal government to give aid to a state, but it should be the state pays them back. And you go, well, you know, some states are not as rich as others. Well, so what? That's the way it is. So the infrastructure is run down the state because that's just a state that there's an opportunity for a great entrepreneur, one who is truly productive, to step in and make some extra money. They don't have good business there. Well, let's start one, you know. But all this socialism is really, it's the worm in the people's brains in this country anymore. See, people think you've got to have it. It's not right. Got to give the handouts. So, trust me, they own you. They own all that you have. At some level. B, we pay tax on the socialistic, quote, retirement, end quote, plan called Social Security, and then tax again when we receive it. Double taxation is rampant. But yet, they do it, they get away with it. Social Security number was originally promised by the government that the government will keep your number private. You don't need to use it. By law, you don't have to give it to anybody. But now you can't do business if you don't give it out through banks, etc. I'll never forget, my dad was truly old school in these areas. He was a state auditor, tax auditor in Oklahoma. He wanted to buy some furniture, and he got a good interest rate on the loan, so he was going to use it to leverage the money he purchased with it. But for the bank to make a loan, they had to have his Social Security number. He was just, I'm walking out of here. So, you know, you're not getting my, the argument that went on that one kind of gave me the rosy clothes on one part, and the other part going, wow. But anyway, but, you know, that's the way it is. See, we pay taxes on utilities. That already are paying taxes on their provision of utility. Whoever does the oil drilling, etc., they pay tax on that. Then the middleman pays tax on what they buy wholesale. And then the utility companies pay tax on what that person paid tax on already, those people for them, to utilize it, to send it out to you to use for yourself. And they charge you tax. And don't believe these people that says this internet service and TV service is just one amount. There's no fees, no additional taxation. It's all in there. Don't worry about it. In their books, I guarantee you, they will show it if they don't want to get in trouble. Merry Easter. Happy Christmas. We pay gas tax, both federal and state. That's the gasoline that we're putting in our car, that you got a good-sized vehicle anymore running premium, you may pay $100 to fill up. That's point D. Why some states during the war inflation, or whatever they want to call this crap, have agreed to at least downsize some of the state tax to help people out. E, don't forget the sin taxes. No, that's not at the brothel. We're talking about tobacco, alcohol, things of that nature. Thank the fundies for that one. Yeah, that's right. Christians are predominantly responsible for some of this. Your body's a temple. You don't defile the temple. Smoking defiles the temple. Well, idiot, once you read the rest of the verses, it says, not what goes into your mouth that defiles the temple, it's what comes from your heart. That's Jesus' words. But anyway, prohibition. We saw how good that did our country. Crime went through the roof, basically, during that period. But these are all the great merchants, the elite of the world, that like to control people. If there are corporate taxes that pass down these costs to the consumer, obviously, the auto industry is a good example. They got to pay taxes, so they're going to include it in the cost of the vehicle. Gee, if you save or invest any of the money on which you paid income and FICA taxes, then you will be taxed on the profit and interest. If there is inheritance tax, a form of double taxation. Your children inherit what you've already purchased and paid tax on. Now they got to be taxed again on that. It's one of these classes that is not always edifying in this sense. You just go, wow, when you start looking at it. You know my attitude. But this whole deal, just how great we are as a nation. As evil as it comes. We had the greatest government in the world. Right. That's why in 1 hour, one day, we get in the neck. You got a king, God only has to take out one person, and the whole regime changes. Not in our government. You don't want to talk about what it would take for that, because they'll come down and look you up. But anyway, we got doctrine, so we know. We faith rest. There's property tax, removing any claim of real ownership of real estate acquired with money on which somebody already paid taxes. Every time that property turns over, somebody pays more taxes on it. Not just on an increase in profit, no, but on the entire sale. So, J, there's transportation tax. When driving public transportation, flying, buses, trains, you're going to get taxed. And now they're trying to do the carbon tax, Canada, I remember being in the Dominican Republic and some Canadians there, and man, you should have heard them going off because they just passed that carbon tax up in Canada. They're going to tell you, you drive so much a day and you don't drive an electric automobile in California, then we're going to tax you out of kazoo. That's where it's going to. Who wants to live in this world, really? I have no death wish. But Satan's world sucks. When it's run by the STA, negative volition, it truly is Satan's world. Maranatha. It isn't around the corner, then, I don't know what to tell you. 51, now these Egyptians knew the righteous intentions and grace that this government employed. All right, so now we're looking at the attitude of the citizens after Joseph levied this new tax on them. And their reaction, their words, speaks volumes in regards to the true regard and respect they held for their leaders. Again, something that is almost foreign anymore in our society. 52, their reply to Joseph says it all. Quote, so they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's slaves. Waomar, Kaya, Masa, Ken, Bet, Ayan, Adon, Wow, Haya, Aved, Lamed, Pharaoh. Verse 25. 53. Now Joseph's intentions, his purpose for taxing, are validated in the clause, "You have saved our lives. You have delivered us." That validates their attitude towards Joseph. They know why he's doing this. It's not to just become rich for his own personal gain, because he has given proof, he has given evidence that the decisions he has made in regards to Egypt, as he extends his suggestions to Pharaoh and implements them otherwise under Pharaoh's authority, have proven to always be fair and equitable and just. And God has greased his skids, and hence the nation is delivered, see, because of his decisions. So the phrase, "Yes, saved our lives," points to point 54. They expect a taxation to continue to perpetuate this virtue. That's why I brought in the comparison, the parallel of the 20% he's proposing at this point in time with the initial 20% during the 7 years of plenty, because they parallel one another in intentions and purpose. It's to save the country. It's for their benefit, for their help and good grace in that regards. 55, the continued grace, translated favor, they expect in this vein, is then realized in the clause, "Let us find favor," or grace, that's our Hebrew noun, kin, "in the sight of my Lord." And as I brought out in the parsing of these verses, while the lexicon may give this a justly force, "let us," is still an imperfect, and you could very well translate it, "We will find grace in the sight of my Lord." It's an expectation, I'm telling you. They expect Joseph to do right by them. He is going to take this money, and he's going to do the best that he can possibly do to help them and benefit them in regards to them as a peoples. So 56, their reflection is based on the grace already revealed, quote, in the phrase, "in the eyes," end quote, of Joseph. As he has his own perception in regards to life, as it's governed and controlled by Bible doctrine and the equity and fairness and justice that he extends in policy and aid, etc., to those under his authority. This section is quite enlightening and quite refreshing to see that there's people actually in history that govern with such high standards. "57, their willingness to continue to accept this tax is stated in the final clause, quote, and we will be Pharaoh's slaves or servants," end quote. "58, Moses then closes the paragraph with a statement expressing the indelible impression that Joseph's / Pharaoh's leadership had on the people. Quote, and Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, supplied valid," correctly, "to this day." That means at the time of Moses' writing, as he was even part of the Egyptian government in his own right, at the time of his writing, that statute maintained its integrity and its place throughout the Egyptian history, now some two centuries down the line. That's Wasim F. Joseph Chok Ad Hayom Hazeh El Adama, Egypt. So it was a statute, a law, that was passed down that found substance with the continuing governments and people without any protest or other changes in regards to it. And it's just kind of God, the blessing by association being handed down through this nation, through Joseph and Sesostris' tenure of leadership at that point in time on forward on. And God continued to bless the nation in that regards. And people were satisfied with it. So 59, the tax continued until the time of Moses as evidence of his equity, his fairness. It's enough for the government to maintain their reserves, their function, etc. They could engage in capitalistic venture through their taxation by opening government business, if you will. All the other things that are associated in regards to this system that has been placed. A straight tax, one tax. You know, you may think on the surface, you look at it, well, 20%, that's kind of high, but then you look at what we're paying. If we just had one straight tax, 20%, it wouldn't be that bad. Of course, 10% would be better. Sixthly, that is, Pharaoh should have the fifth, the 20%. Only the lamb of the priest did not become Pharaoh's. So we're reminded of the exemption, the exception to the rule in regards to the government's interaction with the citizens in this sense. Lamed Pharaoh HaKomesh Rak Hadamah HaKohen Lamed Bad Lo Hayah Lamed Pharaoh. 61, a righteous government will impose a singular tax on profit and implement it only for the security and good of the people, apart from any socialistic programs. Socialism is off the table. And whatever income that may be brought in for the government is designed to benefit the people. Otherwise, for their security, money going to the military. For civil service otherwise, police departments, fire departments. But welfare, no more, see. No way, not even. I remember people doing calculations that if they just did away with every tax that we had and just went on national sales tax, that we'd be out of debt within a matter of a year or so as a country. Of course, that was before we were into the trillions. So I don't know what it's like anymore. I doubt we'll ever be out of this hole. So we're filing bankruptcy, and Russia will go, well, we'll help you. You collect on your insurance. Excuse me if I have fun with these evil programs. The insurance industry is as evil as they get. These types of businesses that leverage the government to pass laws to force you to buy their product. And I've heard all the arguments. Well, you know, somebody hits you and they don't have your car, they don't have insurance, and you're stuck. Well, nobody says you can't buy insurance. It says you're just not forced by it. You buy a car, then you should have the financial responsibility to get insurance for it if it's that valuable to you, if it's that precious to you, if you can't do it, you know. That's the way you do it. Man, I'm sounding more and more like my dad the older I get. Some parts of it, probably too much of it, but anyway. 62, righteous government will avoid all forms of double taxation. That's not only evil, it's just downright destructive. That's greed beyond. Just be honest. Just be honest at least, you know. 63, neither will a people enslave into service those already serving the people as a non-profit organization, such as a religious entity. People who are already doing service, obviously. Somebody in the military, you don't enslave them in regards to having to do civil service on top of it all. And so these principles are just basic principles. And for those who are engaged here, and I didn't write it, I mean, it's in the book, the priests, they're expected to be held exempt in regards to being pressed into the civil service otherwise, and to being taxed. 64, a righteous government will provide for freedom of religion even at the expense of government revenue. That's what Pharaoh, in his own right, offers an example in regards to this whole thing. He came to that conclusion before Joseph ever stepped in and made these other rules. All right, well... We're a little early. I'm going to go ahead and let you go, let you digest all this, and we'll pick up the next set of verses Tuesday. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sensitive to the prep school.